was when I was 9 or 10. I was in a band called Umbrella Pants. me and a schoolmate, and we just did covers. I think we just did 3 covers. We did My Generation by The Who, Paranoid by Black Sabbath, and I think maybe Touch Too Much by AC/DC. And we did the 2 main gigs. We had the school fair, and then we had an assembly that we did. But since then, I've been in lots of bands, but
that was it's been all downhill from there. It was really Rose career high.
And then me and Scotty met when we were about 20, and we started a band together called Diana Radar, which is very like shoegaze, very inspired by, you know, Spaceman 3, Galaxy 500, BJM, My Bloody Valentine sort of stuff, which was everyone sort of goes through that phase. And then we went our separate ways, and then Scotty was living overseas. Me and my sister started this kind of post-punk project. It didn't have a name, and then Scotty had to come back because of COVID, and that was sort of the origins of high school. But all those other bands were still very formative. Like, we feel like we learned so much, and then high school was just the form of it that happened to sort of get us that kind of next level of being able to take our music overseas. But it wouldn't have happened without Umbrella Pants and The Orphans and all those early things.
And I also read that you guys started out in around 2020, but your album came out last year. Could you talk a little bit about the journey to that album and what kind of that development process was like? Because that's quite a long time for the first project to come out. So what kind of that time did for you as a band?
I like the trajectory of 2 EPs before your debut album. Once you've done your debut record, you're like no longer an emerging band. You're sort of like an established band. I think we were just like finding our feet and finding our sound in the first EP and then the second EP. And then, you know, we signed a good label and we had a good team around us, which allowed us to kind of like really, you know, release the debut record with justice and allow people to hear it.
I think it takes a long time to even just get the live show together, and we had so much focus on that initially because it was a really weird timeline for us. Like, we kind of started releasing music during while COVID was still happening. We got in contact with a guy who lives in London, a guy called Rich Walker, who works at a label called 4AD, and then he sort of started managing us. And, you know, so we didn't really have an opportunity to even play any shows, you know, in Oz before we moved
because
to
of lockdown.
As soon as the restrictions eased, we moved straight to the UK. We played our first shows in London. So it took, you know, a couple of years of just like cutting our teeth there and meeting people and listening to different bands and different music and finding out exactly what we wanted to do for this record. But a lot of the songs that are on there now were written, you know, not even that long after we moved, so they've been demoed a couple times since the days of the band. So it's good to see some of them come to life after so many years of tweaking them and stuff.
Yeah, I guess you just mentioned your shift over to London. What kind of has the music scene done for you as a band? You just mentioned that most of those songs were written over there, and I guess what has that moving to London done for you guys, obviously because you've had experience making music in Melbourne as well?
What I really like about London is like how diverse it is, and it's so big and like has so much stuff going on that you just are like exposed to a lot of really good music and art over there.
You know, you kind of get thrown into the deep end moving to London. I feel it's a bit of a sort of sink or swim moment. You have no other opportunity moving there as an artist but to sort of work your ass off and really do it for real. And we live a pretty relaxed lifestyle in Melbourne. You know, our family are here, all of our friends. We got normal jobs here as well. So it felt like there was a lot at stake. And I think that really added to really prioritizing making the best sort of music we could and fully living it. So
it's like the industry is much bigger, and that means it's more competitive, but there's also more opportunity.
We bounce back and forth. And now being back in Melbourne, I love like the time and the space and how sort of spacious everything is, and you know, London's very kind of crippling in a way. Everything's, the sky's really low, the buildings, everything's really tight. Yeah, it's a good contrast. But like, as soon as I'm sort of bored with Melbourne, we go back to London for a bit, and then as soon as London's sort of making me pull my hair out, like, we come back to Melbourne. So it's good to have both.
Yeah, do you think that kind of competitiveness of obviously there's just a lot of people making music in London, but has that fostered a community of musicians over there with you that are kind of like open to collaborating, and have you made strong working relationships over there?
100%.
Yes.
Definitely. Especially working with, you know, people that were on a similar trajectory to us, or were also emerging at a similar time. Other producers, you know, videographers, photographers, and other artists that shared sort of similar vision for what they wanted to do with their own art. Yeah, we sort of like immersed ourselves in those sorts of circles and met heaps of people. Finn Billingham, the guy who did our second EP and helped produce, co-produce this record, when we met him, was sort of just starting out, properly putting his name out there, putting his hand up to produce records. And I felt like we both learned a lot from each other, and it was such a nice experience to sort of have that album as a real collaborative growing experience, not just as the musicians, but for him as a producer. So, you know,
we owe Finn a lot. He's a great producer. And like, I suppose, like, because, like I was saying, like the industry is just bigger, like being a like working musician, supporting yourself seems a lot more viable. And you kind of like meet a lot of people who like do it full time and make it work. Yeah, and Finn is kind of one of them. He's kind of like this young gun producer that kind of killing it.
I don't know, it's cool that you guys have had so long to like develop your sound and like play within different genres. As you say, you did the shoegaze thing, which I think like a lot of bands in their earlier years do. I mean, I don't know, it's cool to hear like this is the sound that you've ended up with, because I think that your music tends to play into this really nostalgic kind of experience. Just, I mean, obviously within the songs that you've written, but also on the production and presentation of your visual also kind of harkens back to someone's youth. And I was wondering what kind of inspired you to go within this direction, because it feels very unified when you look at totality of your work.
Yeah, thank you. That's a nice thing, because I feel like some of the hardest things about like making music is finding like coherency and a coherent sound to your music and sounding like you. And we really strive to do that. So that's nice of you to say that.
In terms of the nostalgic thing, we'd never really used the name literally. And I felt like we didn't really want to use the name that literally on this album, but I did love the idea of like how sort of visceral and intense your like emotions and feelings are when you are in high school. And I'd love to sort of, even if the songs aren't specifically about high school, somehow like evoke those intense highs and lows and feelings with our music. For that sort of 45 minutes of listening, it can kind of allow you to feel that same way. Because I know as you get older, for me anyway, I feel like everything just flattens a bit and chills, and things are less, you know, dramatic. You've experienced so much more as an adult. So as a young person, you know, your emotions are so crazy, and it felt like a cool idea to try and somehow tap back into those sort of feelings. Yeah, and I think like with the name, like I think we just sort of picked it, and then we felt like, you know, all the bands that we like, the music ends up sort of either justifying the name or not. And you know, you're in a good band and you make good music, eventually the name sort of becomes, it's like negligible, it's like it's sort of almost loses its meaning in a weird way. But yeah, no, we've been hounded by our management and publishers and team to they wish we created a more searchable name, you know, for sure. Like, it's a really hard name to search, but
yeah, but I like kind of mundane names as well. Yeah, I really like names about like the cars and the books. I think that I always wish I could name my band those
books
names.
Would have been good, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I reckon don't listen to them. I like, yeah, I think there's another issue. Whatever.
Extra click.
There's like another Aussie band I really love called Dust, and when I spoke with them, they were like, oh yeah, we kind of got worried about the whole Duster, not only comparison but like getting confused or like imitate, like being accused of imitating them, even though they sound completely different.
Let the haters hate if they want to, and
and Dust is a really good name.
No, I agree. Do your live performances have much to do with what ends up on the album? Is the live space something where you workshop your sound? Or
definitely, we were just talking about it before.
Definitely.
Like, we find that you learn so much about a song on tour, and it's a shame when you're touring a song that's already been released and you find out all these little new parts or these different tempos or these different ways of doing things that you wish you could go back and do it again. But I'm also a firm believer in you write a song, you put it out, and that's just that song at that time. I think a lot of our songs become a lot more punk and like a lot heavier in the live setting. I think we put on a sort of rambunctious show. And I feel like in the studio, things are more refined and stripped back and chill. And when we're in a live setting, we can go a bit more crazy. And yeah.
Totally. I think it's so interesting because I go to quite a few gigs locally and you'll hear a song's like iteration from when they first write it to when they release it, and you kind of hear the different changes. And I don't know, it's just so cool to be able to perceive that development. And
so often, like, the early demos and the early versions are equally as cool, if not better. I was talking about this with someone recently about the Libertines, or the Libertines demos that they put out on a record a couple years ago or whatever, and some of them I'm like, wow, they really produced so much quality out of those songs. And obviously the record is great too, but yeah, there's so much that gets pushed away when you produce something too much, I think. And
it's important to capture a song at the right time. This is the thing.